May the Lord help us to commence this afternoon with hymn number 14. Begin my tongue some heavenly theme, and speak some boundless thing, the mighty works or mightier name of our eternal King. Hymn number 14.
Thank you. help us to read from his holy word, the book of the prophet Isaiah, two portions. Firstly, part of chapter 5. The book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 5. We'll read the first 7 verses. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to. I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression, for righteousness, but behold, a cry. Turn now to chapter 26 and chapter 27. Isaiah chapter 26, commencing to read verse 12. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hadst removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain, and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place. to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. In that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan the piercing serpent, even Leviathan that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. In that day sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Fury is not in me. Who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together. Or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me. And he shall make peace with me. He shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, to enable us now to call upon thee reverently, humbly, make us to feel our need. Help us, Lord, to ask in the name of thy dear Son. For wherewith shall we approach the Lord and bow before thy throne, when we are in ourselves so unacceptable to thee, and cannot bring forth that which thou canst receive? Oh, help us, Lord, to trust in thy holy word and plead Christ and Christ alone. Oh, we beg, Lord. Oh, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Oh, we plead his finished work, that glorious obedience in his life, that glorious obedience in his death. O Lord, we pray, may our breaches of the law be his, and his obedience ours. All may it be made known to those in whose case it is so. For thou knowest, Lord, those that are thine. Oh, we pray that thou wouldst assure them, if it is thy will, assure them this day that it is so. Those who've come seeking a token, seeking that assurance, oh, disappoint them not, Lord. Oh, we do pray that thou wouldst remember thy covenant, remember thy promises, and help thy people to remember them, to plead the covenant, to plead the promises, to plead the blood of the covenant. O Lord, thou hast said, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And as we come, Lord, together today on this annual occasion, grant a thankful heart for thy mercies to us. Lord, oh, truly, as a sinner is the subject of much mercy, who is favoured to enter into thy courts once more, so, Lord, surely there is cause for each service to be a service of thanksgiving. Lord, are thou out of a deserved hell and still on praying ground, that the time when thou mayest be found is lengthened out? The long suffering of the Lord. Thy servant Peter exhorts us to account the long suffering of the Lord as salvation. Oh, may sinners find it so this day. They've been spared to this moment. They've been spared to come into thy house on this day. nor may it be to know thy salvation, to hear thy words as the psalmist sought them. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. The Lord, there's no other way. Lord, thou art the sovereign God. Thy salvation is a sovereign salvation. Thou dost not save all. Lord, thou dost not save all that come into chapel. Lord, but thou dost save all thy people. Oh, say unto them, I am thy God. They may say, thou art my Father, my God, my Saviour. Lord, help thy people. Strengthen them with might by thy Spirit in the inner man. Thou knowest how each has come in here this afternoon. We pray thou would strengthen that which is weak. Lord, if there are those come in who are strong in the flesh, confident in themselves, as Paul was, Saul of Tarsus, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst do for them what thou didst for him, and bring down their strength to nothing. Those that say they see, do for them what thou didst for him, and make him blind. For thou hadst a purpose in that. Lord, that even in that natural blindness that thou didst bring upon him, thou shouldst show in illustration his spiritual blindness and then deliver him from it. Lord, we pray for those that come in feeling blind. Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? O Holy Spirit of truth, do descend in mercy. Send him, Almighty God, the Father, we pray, in the name of thy dear Son, to take the scales off the eyes, to reveal Christ to the eye of faith. Oh, we do pray for a revealed Christ. Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Lord, those that have never seen thee, grant this that may be the day when they will see thee by faith for the first time. And those that have, this may be a day when they'll get another glimpse of thee through the lattice of thy word. Lord, we're dependent on thee. Lord, be pleased in thy mercy to reveal thyself, for art thou not glorified when thou dost reveal thyself? Dost thou not accomplish thy purposes when thou dost reveal thyself? Lord, is it not when the Son of Man is manifested that the works of the devil are destroyed? Oh, we pray then for the manifestation of the Son of Man, the Son of God. Lord, help this people. Uphold them and keep them. Bless them indeed. Direct them in every step. Unite them together in Christ. Oh, Lord, we do pray for Zion here and the churches represented here and thy churches wherever they are in the earth. My soul shall pray for Zion still, while life and breath remains, there my best friends, my kindred dwell. There God, my Saviour, reigns. For Lord, we mourn. We mourn because we do not see the reign of God in Zion as we would see it. We see the work of Satan, we see the work of man. And Lord, that is not good. Lord, we pray. Arise, O Lord. O thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Save us, and Lord, begin with me. Save me, save this people, save thy people wherever they are, from themselves. from their own will, their own way, their own thoughts, their own lusts. Lord, oh, their own forgetting of thee and being unmindful of the rock of their salvation. Lord, we pray, grant the power of the gospel may be known in the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Lord, that sinners may worship at Emmanuel's feet. Lord, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, may cleanse us from all our sin and renew us. And we may know that we have read from thy word this afternoon. For Lord, we are in ourselves dead men. Without thee we can do nothing. We cannot live without thee. We cannot move, we cannot see, we cannot desire. We cannot believe, we cannot repent. Lord, we can do nothing, but thou hast said, thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise, awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, we pray for that dew. We pray, Lord, for those showers. Bless the young. Use thy word in their hearts this day, we pray. Fix it there. O Lord, make thyself known to them. Lord, that they may believe in God. Lord, that they may cast their cares upon thee. Lord, that they may search thy word. Bless the labours of parents and others who seek to bring thy word before the young, that word which is able to make them wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ. Keep them safe, guide them right, help them, Lord, in these difficult days. Lord, we pray thou hast delivered them and keep them from every snare. Lord, we pray for the fear of the Lord, a living faith and the love of God to be granted unto them. And then, Lord, surely they shall be kept. Lord, help those who wait upon thee to open a way for them. Help them to wait on. Lord, for thou hast said, none shall wait on that wait on thee shall be ashamed. Remember afflicted ones, we commend them to thee and pray that thou wouldst, if it would please thee, heal them, restore them. Where thy will is otherwise, that thou hast grant that submission, that grace all sufficient, making them glory in the infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest on them. Bless the deacons of this church and indeed, deacons in thy churches and ministers, bless them in their labours and bless their labours. O Lord, we pray, thou hast appointed these instruments. But what poor instruments we are. But O Lord, we pray that thou wouldst condescend to use poor instruments still. But Lord, in such a way as thou have all the glory, for to thee it belongs. Oh, we pray to be made and kept humble. We pray that in this thou wouldst defend us from the adversary and subdue the wretched evil of our nature. Forgive all our many sins, all we ask amiss, do pardon. As we would ask all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 983. Spirit of truth, come down. Reveal the things of God. O make to us salvation known and witness with the flood. 983.
Upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this afternoon to one of the chapters we read, the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 27. Verses 1, 2, and 3. Isaiah, chapter 27, verses 1, 2, and 3. In that day, the Lord, with his sore and great and strong sword, shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. In that day sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. In a number of places in the scriptures, we have this expression, in that day. It appears several times in this book of the prophet Isaiah. It sets forth that the Lord has an appointed time for every one of his judgments. The psalmist said, indeed, my times are in thy hand. There is a set time to favour Zion. We read in Psalm 103. And so we have it here, in that day, the Lord's time. You see, the Lord does not accomplish everything in his people, and certainly he does not accomplish everything in his church at once. Dear Mr. Philpott says, a Christian is not made in one day. He is like an oak tree planted by the Lord. He grows, he's strengthened. The Lord strengthens him as he grows in grace. Those winds that blow upon that tree, those storms that blow upon it, cause it to take deep root. And so over a period of time, even in creation, the Lord accomplishes his purpose, and so in grace, over a time, the Lord accomplishes his purposes. And perhaps as I say this, there is more than one in this congregation who's saying within themselves, I don't seem to be growing at all. Well, the Lord knows what growth is. It certainly isn't getting stronger in self. It's the opposite of that. The more a Christian grows, the nearer the ground he gets. John Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. Do you know anything of that? If you do, there is growth. In that day then, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent. There's a chapter in the book of Job. It's the last chapter before the account of Job's deliverance. So it is the penultimate chapter in the book of Job, and it's devoted entirely by God to describe Leviathan. You remember in those chapters, God brings home to Job his smallness, his inability, his weakness. He asks Job, canst thou bind Leviathan? Canst thou teach him? Canst thou make him thy servant? No. Leviathan then, as the Lord spoke to Job, he was that great creature, enormous creature, that even physically, a poor man was like a speck before him. But I'm sure that in this verse here, the Lord has Satan in mind when he's speaking of Leviathan. And if you read that chapter in the book of Job, and in instead of putting Leviathan there, in other words, where the word of the Lord says Leviathan, put Satan there, you would find it all true. You would find that you cannot tame him. You'd find that you cannot reason with him. You'll find that he is too strong for you. He was too strong for Adam and Eve, wasn't he? When they were in God's image. For they were, though made holy, they were not impeccable. They were corruptible. And much more so you and I, who are corrupted human beings. Descendants from him who by his sin he ruined the whole human race. We have that therefore within us which is in league with Satan. The hymn writer says in one place, doesn't he, when he's speaking of Satan's work, "Nay, my heart often tempts me first. It needs no outward work from Satan. Because Satan in the fall did that which brought man into that ruined state wherein he is like a devil himself." That poor Gadarene, he's not the only one that has had to say to the Lord Jesus in answer to his question, "What is thy name?" "My name is Legion, for we are many." And perhaps there is a child of God here this afternoon, and you have been feelingly under the power of Satan for a long time, and you ask the question many times, "Why doesn't the Lord deliver me? Why doesn't the Lord deliver me?" Because he has a purpose in lengthening out this trial. Because he is doing something in your soul, child of God, even through the temptations, through the attacks, through the influence of the devil. Remember what he said to Simon Peter. "Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." If you ask, why didn't the Lord prevent Satan from doing that? Well, the answer is clear. The Lord knew that Peter needed Satan to do that, because Peter was self-confident. "I'm ready to go with thee, Lord, to prison and to death." Ah, you're not Peter, but you don't know it. But I will use Satan to make you know that you're not ready to go with me to prison and to death. And I will show you, Peter, that your salvation does not depend on what you are ready to do. It depends entirely upon what I am ready to do and will do. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. And the men that held Jesus took him, bound him, and led him forth to Caiaphas the priest. He said to that band that came to apprehend him in the garden, "If ye seek me, let these go their way, that the scripture might be fulfilled, of those that thou gavest me, I have lost none." But you see, the day will come when the Lord will, with his sore and great and strong sword. What is that? It's the sword of the Lord's mouth. The sharp two-edged sword of Almighty God. What a solemn thing that is for every opponent of the Lord Jesus Christ when that sharp two-edged sword condemns them. Those who are under the influence of the devil, blinded by him, held by him in unbelief all their days, and dying in that same condition. And at death they appear before the great God, their Maker. They cannot then deny that he is God. They cannot then deny that they have sinned. They cannot then deny that there is a judgment. And as they are cast into hell, they cannot then deny that there is a hell. And as they see the blessed people of God in heaven, and we are told in the scriptures, I can't explain it to you, but we're told in the scriptures, in the Lord's parable of the two men, the rich man and Lazarus the beggar, that those in hell do see those in heaven. Though there is a great goal fixed, in the book of the Revelation, John saw in that revelation on the Isle of Patmos, the Son of God in his glory. And from his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. This is the great and strong sword the Word of God through his dear Son. The truth, as in Jesus, is that strong, that sharp sword that shall punish Leviathan, that shall punish the devil. I quoted in prayer those words, for this cause the Son of God was manifested, that he should destroy the works of the devil. But what is there in this? As I speak of this great and strong sword that punishes Leviathan, the piercing serpent, that punishes the devil. As it is the word of the Saviour of his people. In this destruction of Leviathan, in this destruction of Satan, is the salvation of his church. And that is the blessedness of Jesus Christ being the judge. I seem to remember that on one occasion in the past, on this annual occasion, I tried to preach from those words, he hath appointed a day which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. You see, as the judgment is of Satan is by the mouth, by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that means there is salvation for some. The word of the Saviour, as he declares to Satan, those who are his, that is, those who are Christ. We have it, don't we, in elsewhere in this prophecy where there was that man who represents every sinner called by grace, every sinner convinced of sin, and every sinner called by grace will be convinced of it, and convinced of it again and again. Joshua the high priest, and he stood before the Lord in filthy garments. He was a sinner, and you and I are. You know, when you read in the Word of God of a sinful man, it's you, it's me. When you read in the Word of God the Lord's reproof of sinners, it's you he's reproving, it's me he's reproving. And if you have an interest in his love, if you have an interest in his mercy, if you have a union with God through Jesus Christ, he'll make you feel that. Thou art the man. It's not that you can look at certain portions of the scripture and say, well, I'm not as bad as that. You are. If you don't realize you are, you need your eyes opened, and only God can open them. But Joshua was there in filthy garments. But oh, Joshua had an advocate. Joshua had one to speak for him. He couldn't speak for himself. Open thy mouth for the dumb, says the Father to his Son, in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. And what does God say? What does the Lord Jesus Christ say? The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. The Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked from the burning? The choice, the Lord of the chosen Jerusalem. The calling, the effectual calling, the outstretched arm of God to save Joshua. He hasn't saved himself. He's not saved through his own doings. Is not this a brand plucked from the burning? Take his polluted garments off. Clothe him in change of raiment. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. Set a fair mitre upon his head. A priest unto God. To offer spiritual sacrifices. Prayer. Praise. Adoration. Worship. In that day, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan the piercing serpent. So he's described as a piercing serpent. Oh, the lunges of Satan with that sword. What a death blow it was to man when he tempted man into sin. He pierced him. You see, that temptation that Satan put against Eve and then Adam, they didn't have a defense in themselves from it. They didn't have a defense in themselves from it. There was no way they could have been better. This serpent has such a piercing sword. He was bound to succeed. He was bound to succeed. And so he did. But my dear friend, when that same piercing serpent came against the incarnate Son of God, when he came against the second Adam, the Lord from heaven, when he came against that pure, sacred, holy humanity which the Holy Spirit formed in the womb of the Virgin Mary, taking of her substance and mysteriously and incomprehensibly forming that sacred humanity which couldn't sin, which couldn't fall, taken into union with the Son of God's eternal deity. There is the defense, and there is the ground upon which this sharp and this strong and this great sword of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, shall punish Leviathan. Our captain, says the hymn writer, our captain stood the fiery test, and we shall stand through him. Now in the Lord's people's experience, it is the words of the Son of God that does this in their soul's experience for them. Because as I set forth just briefly then from the case of Joshua the high priest, the truth that condemns Satan is the truth that saved Joshua. And the truth that condemns Satan is this: Joshua is chosen of God, loved with an everlasting love. The Lord has chosen Jerusalem. And do you think, Satan, you're going to take from God him whom he hath chosen? Because where hath God chosen Joshua? Not in Adam, in Christ. And how is Joshua plucked as a brand from the burning? Look what it sets forth. Joshua doesn't clamber out of the burning. Joshua doesn't raise himself up out of his lost and ruined condition. Joshua deserves hell. That's what the burning means. But by the teaching of the Spirit, he comes in some measure in his soul's experience into the burning. The pangs of hell in some measure get hold upon him as he feels condemned under the law of God. But one comes forth, and it's Jesus. And suffers in Joshua's place, having obeyed in Joshua's place. And by that obedience in life and by that obedience in his sufferings in death, Joshua is provided with a change of raiment. This, made known by the Spirit. Ah, that's the secret. In that day, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword. Remember what I said from Revelation. John saw the Lord, the Son of God, and a sharp two-edged sword in his mouth. When the Lord speaks into the heart of his people the words of salvation, I have loved thee, I have redeemed thee. When he says to the guilty sinner, thy sins are forgiven thee. When he reveals himself, and that is with the words of his mouth. This day comes, the day which the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. There's that word, isn't there, in the prophecy of Zechariah that speaks of the fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. And that word goes on to speak of the other effects. Or it's really one great effect. That person is made a new creature in Christ Jesus. That person is cleansed not only from the guilt of his sin, but the power of his sin. And in that day shall the idols be cast out. All the idols in the land of Israel shall be cast out. The piercing serpent, that crooked serpent. Crookedness speaks of deceit. And and Satan is, as the word of God calls him, the father of lies, a liar from the beginning. It was with a lie that he tempted our first parents. And it's with lies, my dear friend, that he holds you and me in captivity. It's with lies that he leads sinners away every day, every hour. With a lie, thou shalt not die. But God had said, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt not die. Oh, the crookedness of the devil. And are there those here this afternoon and you're under the temptation of that crooked one? And he says, God won't hear your prayer. You're too bad a sinner. You'll never find in the Word of God anything to substantiate that. It is a downright lie. God says the very opposite to that. He says, everyone that asketh receiveth. He doesn't say, everyone that is not too bad a sinner receiveth. And he also says, all manner of sin and of blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. And the Lord Jesus, in calling sinners unto himself, he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And is the devil saying this lie to someone here this afternoon? Yes, but the Lord Jesus doesn't speak to people like he used to. You must just take the word as it stands. You must just accept the scripture and not expect that the Lord will speak the word expressly to you. Again, that's a downright lie. Remember what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Hebrews. Considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Now he spoke to sinners yesterday, didn't he? We have it in the Word of God. And the Word of God says he's the same today and it says he'll be the same forever. But you see, it's when the Lord speaks, and he may speak through me this afternoon. That's my desire. I know that nothing will be done unless he speaks through me. Nothing will be done by me speaking, but if the Lord speaks through me, then today will be this day, and he may be pleased to use a poor instrument like me in this work. But it will be the power of the Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit of truth. Remember what Jesus said in this same prophecy. What a wonderful prophecy it is of Christ. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the meek, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to the bound. And how is it when he speaks to a poor sinner and by speaking to them, they believe on him? And my dear friend, when a sinner believes on Christ, the word that the Lord has spoken in that sinner's heart is made this great and strong sword. How powerful is the word of the Lord Jesus? Haven't some of you proved it? Satan had you in a grip. And you read the scriptures and nothing seemed to be of any help. All you saw there was condemnation. But in the Lord's time he spoke. And Satan couldn't stand before his word. He had to flee. That unbelief Satan was holding you in when Christ spoke and you believed by the power of his word. He couldn't hold you in unbelief any longer. That error you were holding when Christ revealed the truth to you, you couldn't hold that error of Satan any longer. Oh, when Satan held you in some enmity against God, against his people, when Satan held you in some sin in which that you had nurtured in your own heart, and you had nursed that babe, as it were, and it grown and grown and grown. So it's now such a mighty thing in your heart, so that it is ruling your behavior. Like a child that's not been disciplined. You'll grow up indisciplined. And sooner or later it will rule its parents. But oh, when the Lord speaks, Remember I spoke just now about the mad Gadarene. When Jesus said, come out of him, thou unclean spirit, he was found sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. That's the only way your sins are going to be conquered, sinner. By him who conquered sin once at Calvary and conquers sin by speaking of himself into the sinner's heart such that they believe on him. That crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. I take this as being one and the same adversary. The devil in his various forms, the forms he takes. We read in the word, he comes as a roaring lion and as an angel of light. He comes as a leviathan, he comes as a dragon that is in the sea. I just say this, I haven't had any particular light on that word concerning the dragon in the sea. It just comes to me to say this. You know, you children know this, that we don't know what creatures are in the sea till they appear, till they come to the surface. But there they are. There is this dragon, Satan. But you see, as God said to Job, thou canst not catch Leviathan. So he says to the sinner, thou canst not catch. You see, when the dragon is in the sea, we don't know where he is. We don't know what he's doing. But how often that is with us. We don't know what Satan is doing. We don't know where he is. But God does. He knows where he is. God sees to the bottom of every ocean on this earth that he has created. He sees in every depth. I thought of that, my dear friends, some while ago now when that airplane was lost and men have searched and searched and searched and they've not found it. But right from the beginning, God knew where it went. And he knows where it lies now. From that place, he will raise the bodies of those that perished on that aircraft. Now that is an aside. It sets forth by illustration the truth that God knoweth where Satan is working. He is able to destroy him, to overthrow him, wherever he is working. Under the surface or on the surface, far off or near. But then it was these two following verses that were particularly laid on my mind, and they were particularly laid on my mind as I came here this morning. Seeking the Lord to give me a word to bring before you. And a word that I had no thought of previously at all dropped into my heart. I, the Lord, do keep it. I, the Lord, do keep it. In that day sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. Again, then we have this expression, in that day. In that day when the Lord punishes Satan, in that day when the Lord, in the Lord's people's experience, puts Satan down, when he delivers his people from his influence, from his work, when he delivers them from all the damage that he has done in them by sin, when he pardons their iniquity, when he blesses them with faith and love in God, in that day, sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. Sing the sweet promise of the Lord and his performing word. This vineyard of red wine, the vineyard is the church of God, the Lord's church. We read of it in the 5th chapter. You may also read of it in other places. Psalm 80 is the prayer of the church of God. When that which in chapter 5 was prophesied had taken place, and the Lord had broken down the hedges and the walls, and the boar head of the wood has come in and wasted. You may read of it in the Song of Solomon. The prayer there is, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine, for our vine have tender grapes. You see, just for a moment, chapter 5, the Lord planted that vineyard, and his purpose was that it should bring forth grapes. Bring forth grapes of the plant that he had planted, but it brought forth wild grapes. This is you and me, sinner, if we're a child of God. Can you say you only bring forth the fruits of the Spirit? Can you say you only bring forth good things? No. You'll have to confess, I am like that vineyard, wild grapes, the sin that is brought forth. Oh, it may have the appearance of a grape. It may have the appearance of that which is good, but it's a wild grape. It's not a grape that is sweet to the taste of the husbandman. The Lord Jesus Christ says his Father is the husbandman. His purpose is that his church shall bear those fruits of his dear Son's finished work. Bear those fruits of that great work that he came to do and did do when he came into this world. That obedience which he rendered. That conquest of sin that he accomplished. That righteousness which he wrought out. That blessed righteousness which he himself manifest in all that he did. You see, my dear friend, this is the will of the Father, that his vineyard shall bear the fruits of his Son's death. And alas, there's not one plant that the Father has planted, but what? As through the indwelling sin in their old nature, they brought forth these wild grapes. But my text says, sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. The red wine in Scripture, it signifies first of all the blood shedding of Christ. He hath trodden the winepress alone. He himself was pressed in that winepress. When he bore his Father's wrath for all the sins of his people, and that wrath was just, that wrath was righteous, but all the person on whom it is poured is Christ, his well-beloved Son, who did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. He is the Lamb of God, without blemish and without spot. Now he died for a certain people. He died for everyone whom his Father had given unto him, whom his Father had loved with an everlasting love. And shall he fail to get from his vineyard the fruit that he intends to get? No. No, my dear friend. You say, why then did the Lord let that happen? As is recorded in Isaiah chapter 5. Could not the Lord have prevented the wild grapes being brought forth? And since the Lord is Almighty God, the answer to that question is yes. He could have, if that had been for his church's good and for his honour and glory. God has that in view in everything which he does, in everything which he allows. And remember, when we speak of God allowing things, what we're saying is that God is not the author of sin. He is not the one that prompts Satan to do what he does. No, he cannot. But he is the one that purposes. Hast thou considered my servant Job, he said to Satan. There is none like him in the earth. And Satan said, he's like that because of the tender way thou hast dealt with him. He has not come into real trouble, or else he would not love thee, God. Put thy hand forth and touch him, and he will curse thee to thy face. And God gave permission to go so far in dealing with Satan, but he said, touch not his life. Thus far shalt thou come and no further. But you see, we read at the end of the book of Job that the Lord delivered him and he had twice as much as he had before. But that's only the secondary part. We read at the end of the book of Job that Job says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Now we know why God permits what happens in Isaiah 5. Now we know why God permits what happened in the life of Job. Now we know why God permitted what happened in the life of Peter. We know, says the apostle, that all things work together for good. Why? If God be for us, who can be against us? You see, what happens in Isaiah 5, firstly, it is for the glory of God. What would we expect God to do with a vineyard that only brought forth wild grapes? If he were not God, if he were not gracious, if he were not the covenant-keeping God, if he were not utterly and completely faithful to his own word, what would he do? He would destroy it utterly. But he doesn't. He doesn't. But what would happen if the vineyard only brought forth grapes that were pleasing to God? Wouldn't the vine exalt itself? The plants, that is, I'm not speaking of Christ, the living vine. I'm speaking in the context of this word, wherein each of the Lord's people are planted in his vineyard. They would exalt themselves. They would take to themselves the glory. They would go along with a multitude who would in theory acknowledge that God saves, but they say man must do his bit. who say that God can save if you're not too bad a sinner, who say that God can save if you submit yourself to him. But as the account is true, it is real, it is honest, it is actually what happens in every one of the members of Christ's body, in every part of his church, in every generation and in every place. God shows himself faithful. He shows himself a covenant-keeping God. He shows that he saves sinners from their sins. And he shows them that they're sinners all the way through. But he saves them again and again. He restores them. He forsakes them not. He leaves them not. But he shows what a wise and a just husbandman he is. That he will not let his church prosper in sin. He delivers them from their sins and causes them to prosper under his wise and merciful hand and at the word of his blessed mouth in remembering him and looking singly to him. In that day, sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. A vineyard of red wine. Not a vineyard of the wine of those wild grapes, but a vineyard of the wine of Christ's finished work. Every single fruit, my dear friend, I thought of this earlier, every single fruit that his church bears flows from Calvary. Every single desire after God, every right sense of sin, of guilt, every living prayer of faith, every heartfelt confession, every look into Christ, every pleading of his promise, every grain of faith, every moment's repentance, every particle of love, every act of obedience of the believer, every submission to the will of God, it all flows from Calvary, a vineyard of red wine. And you see, this is the effect. When the Lord, with his sore and great and strong sword, punishes Satan, the vineyard flourishes. At the word of the Lord, the vineyard flourishes. Under the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, which destroys or casts out Satan, the vineyard is built up. The vineyard flourishes. At his word, faith flourishes. At his word, repentance flourishes. At his word, love flourishes. At his word, prayer flourishes. At his word, everything that he accomplished at Calvary, every grace that he purchased for his people at Calvary, it flourishes in them according to his will and according to his purpose. When this day comes, sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. Now you see, the fruit is going to show from where it came. Learn of me, he says, I'm meek and lowly in heart. Oh, when we see a sinner trusting in God, and together with that trust there is humility and meekness, we see the vineyard of red wine. When we see a sinner evidently trusting in Christ, and we see them leaving the world, that's the vineyard of red wine. When we see a person saying they trust in Christ and they can go along with the world and they're full of their idols and they're up to their ears in all the things of this world and loving it, that's the vineyard of wild grapes. When we see a sinner and they say they believe in Christ, but oh, how lifted up they are. When we're like that, it's not the vineyard of red wine, it's the vineyard of the wild grapes. There is nothing that can possibly lift up a sinner in themselves in the gospel, but everything to lay them low. The more thy glory strikes my eye, the humbler I shall lie. And when we hear a person say, I believe in Christ, and the gospel is such, I'm delivered from the law, I don't need to take any notice now of the law of God. I don't need to keep the Sabbath. I don't need to do this of the law. The law is all fulfilled. Oh, it is. But the fulfillment of the law by the surety, the fulfillment of the law by the Lord Jesus Christ, brings to the heart that grace by which that sinner seeks to and loves to obey the word of the Lord in his law. Not of his own self. He's not doing it to work righteousness. It is flowing from the righteousness of Jesus Christ, flowing from the love of Jesus Christ in his heart. But now the Lord says, I, the Lord, do keep it. I, the Lord, do keep it. When it was bearing wild grapes, the Lord was keeping it. You say, how can that be? It can be because of the mystical union between Christ and his church. There's two aspects of this keeping it. Firstly, the aspect of the eternal settlement. When that person was dead in trespasses and sins, Christ was keeping him. Preserved in Jesus when my feet made haste to hell, and when that sinner, after being called by grace, was being taught and brought to this day when this word will be proclaimed, a vineyard of red wine, the Lord was keeping them. Now this is by the operation of the Spirit in their heart. I, the Lord, do keep it. Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. I, the Lord, do keep it. I see the time is almost gone. I shall not get through this word this afternoon. As the word itself justifies, I will not then try to hasten this through in the last minute or two. But as the Lord may enable me, I'll leave it for this evening. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Amen.
Collections today for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund, and tea will be served shortly on the right hand side of the chapel. Let us close with hymn 680. Before all worlds the glorious plan, the blessed eternal deed, was settled by the eternal three, that Christ for man should bleed. 680.
thank thee for thy word. Oh, do bless it to us. Keep us in the interval. Help us to pray for thy blessing. Gather us again. Oh, may there be a gathering this evening unto the heavenly Shiloh. We do beseech thee, come and make this place a Bethel to our souls. Forgive all that's been amiss. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.